What a journey we've been on in the book of Acts. I hope it's helped you and encouraged you. It has been truly an amazing reminder to me in going through this, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And here we jump right into an amazing event that's taken place. It's kind of continued on all the way from chapter 3. This lame man is still in the picture. This lame man is still involved. He's 40 years old. We learned that now. We didn't really know that until now. But he's still there. I mean, he's still beside Peter and he's still with John. And the power of that miracle continues to be a matter of discussion amongst the crowd. And the Sanhedrin is amazed here in verse 13 at the boldness and the teaching authority of these unschooled, ordinary men with no formal training of any kind when it comes to religious speaking. Now, again, some of the same people that were at the mock trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know if you noticed that and caught on to that last week as we were mentioning that in verse 6, some of these same people that were at Christ's trial, which was a mock trial. He was unjustly tried. He allowed it to go forth so that we could have be saved. But he wasn't guilty of anything. As the song says, he was guilty of loving me. He was guilty of loving you. And that's why he went to the cross. But anyway, fast forward ahead. Here's some of the same people. Here's some of the same ones. Here's some of the same ones that heard the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they're hearing the teaching of Peter, they're hearing the teaching of John, and it was kind of maybe a deja vu moment for them. And yet, these men, again, they had nothing like what they had when it came to training, or those that were a part of the religious sect, the Sanhedrin and so forth, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. But I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul wrote for us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Would you turn over there quickly? Hold your place in Acts chapter 4. This is a great verse that you've heard many times, but it doesn't hurt for us to read it again. I guess I have it there on the screen for you as well. 1 Corinthians 1 and 27. The Bible says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the who? The wise." That's exactly what these Sanhedrin would have been. They would have been, in the world's eyes, they would have been, you know, the wise. They would have been the smart ones, the trained one, the educated one. Nothing wrong with an education. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's exactly what it said. How in the world did these unlearned, it didn't mean they couldn't read and write. It meant that they were not trained in the sense of the way that the priests and so forth were trained. And these ignorant men, how did it happen like that? How did they have this power? How did they have this ability? And the Bible says very clearly that they took knowledge of them, that they definitely had been spending time with Jesus. You know, again, it goes right back into what we heard this morning. I think our life would be evident if we spent more time with Jesus. It would be evident. It would be evident to everyone around us. In addition, the healing of the lame man continues to be a thorn in the side of the religious leaders of the day. He's there, he's with them, and we'll get to that. So, let me give you, by way of introduction, several things that these Sanhedrin could not deny. They could not deny. Number one, carefully, number one, the miracle. The miracle. This is not the outline, it's the introduction. There was no way they could deny that this man, who for every day, for every moment of every day, he was at the temple, now he's no longer at the temple, now he's walking. Look at verse 16. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done. It's made known, it's manifest. Everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. I mean, you talk about word spreading fast. I don't know how many people that meant, but it says here, if you're reading what I'm reading, it says it was manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. Everybody in town knows about the lame man who was healed. We can't deny it. So number one, they could not deny the miracle. Number two, they could not deny the message about the resurrection. They could not deny that. The tomb was empty. The tomb, 3 days later, the tomb is empty. There was no way to deny it. Jesus had been seen by up to 500 people at one time. There was no way to deny that Jesus Christ had resurrected, the message of the resurrection. The tomb was and still is empty. Number three, they could not deny the Messiah himself. What do you mean? There was no and is no scriptural or logical way to explain away Jesus Christ being the Messiah. They could not deny it. I mean, they even said for themselves, they wanted this thing to stop. They didn't want it to spread any further because it was gaining momentum. If it was Jerusalem, that was now everyone in Jerusalem knew, but then it says in verse 17, but that it spread no further among what these religious leaders wanted to do was, like I said, stop the momentum. They wanted to stop the message from continuing to go forth. So they are commanded not to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus. But they answer that in verses 19 and 20 with their statement basically saying, we must keep spreading the truth. Go back in your Bible, please, with me to Matthew chapter 10. We find here in Matthew chapter 10 that Jesus Christ, when he was in his earthly ministry, had let his disciples know about this very event. Not specifically the one in Acts 4, but he let them know that things like what is happening to Peter and John were coming. Look at Matthew chapter 10, please, if you will. And look down at verse number 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. I don't know about you, but I know when sheep and wolves get together, typically it's not going to end well for the sheep. Right? Because wolves normally can overcome a sheep. And they travel in packs. Right? A wolf pack. And so Jesus says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. Now, we're not reading everything that's happening in these chapters, but that's coming. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. What ye shall speak. In other words, I think we read this a few weeks ago, but in other words, Jesus is letting them know that you're going to be tried, you're going to be brought before men, but you know what? When it happens, I'm going to give you the words to say. And that's exactly what happens here. Peter says to them, look, whether or not we're supposed to stop talking or not, we're going to speak for the Lord no matter what. Look at verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. To me, the Lord Jesus had told them that there's coming a day when this type of thing will happen. But Peter and John answered in verse 19 and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. How were they able to be so pointed in their reply? How were Peter and John, how were they able to be bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's see. Number one, in the outline, number one, verse 13 tells us, number one, they had been with Jesus Christ. They had been with Jesus Christ. They had walked with him. They had seen his miracles. They had heard his teaching. They had heard his teaching here in Matthew chapter number 10. They had seen the feeding of the 5,000. They had seen the lame man healed. They had heard and seen Lazarus come forth. They had been with Jesus. They had walked with him. They had seen the water turn to wine. They had been with Jesus. They had, unfortunately, Peter had denied him three times, but experienced the forgiveness of the Lord. They had been with Jesus. These men had the pointedness. These men had the ability, the boldness. It was not them. Like Jesus said, it will not be you. It will be the Holy Spirit of God speaking in and through you. They had been with Jesus. These men had not attended schools in the tradition of the scribes, but they had been with Jesus. These men should not have been able to articulate like they had, but they had been with Jesus. This quote, it was an uncommon thing for such unschooled laymen to speak with such effectiveness as an authority. They had been with the Lord Jesus. The same authority with which the Lord Jesus spoke was not coming from his disciples. They had received a much better education from being in the constant presence of the Son of God. They didn't have the diploma hanging on the wall that maybe some would have had. They didn't have the recognition, but they had been with Jesus. I want to encourage you today. It is time that we as God's people recognize, if you're not recognizing the time in which you are living, then my friend, the devil is blinding your eyes. If there's not a time, if there hasn't been a time, if there is a time now, we need the boldness and we need the forthwithness to stand for the Lord. That's not going to come. That's not going to come in our own strength. We need to spend time with Jesus. How were they able to do this? They had been with Jesus. He who is taught in the school of Christ will ever speak to the point and very intelligibly too. Oh, we need time with Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. How were they able? Number one, they had been with Jesus. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verse number 10. Philippians 3 and verse number 10. That I may know him. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that I may know him, that I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection. Do you know him today? Have you spent time with Jesus today? Have you spent time in his word? Have you spent time listening to the Spirit of God? Have you spent time being recharged by the word of God and getting boldness? I mentioned that today to this new believer who got saved here just a couple hours ago. Praise the Lord. He went from darkness to light just like that. A supernatural transaction had taken place. And I'll tell you, a lot of it had to do with the influence of his coworker. A lot of it had to do with the influence of someone who was concerned. Hey, there was a difference you could see in that man's life. Why? Not a perfect man, but someone. Peter, not a perfect man, but the religious leader said, something's different about this guy. It was evident they had spent time with the Lord Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Just a few hours ago, this man went from darkness to light, and I told this man, I said, you have got to be in this book every day. The devil wants to discourage and defeat and depress and do everything to distract you from growing in grace. This is the foundation. It's Jesus Christ. But you can build on that foundation with the precious word of God. You can be a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's lived you. He saved you. But now he wants to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. It comes when we spend time with Jesus. Number one, how were they able to be a bold witness for Christ? How am I going to be able to be a bold witness for Christ? We must have time with Jesus. Verse 13 says they had been with Jesus. Number two, they had battled the enemy. They had battled the enemy. We read last week that Annas and Caiaphas and Alexander and others were grieved by what Peter and John were doing. By the way, this does not mean that they were saddened by it. It meant they were upset and disturbed by it, by the miracle of the preaching of the Word of God, that Peter and John, the authority that they came. It was very clear that these religious leaders, Annas and Caiaphas and Alexander and others, it was very clear that they could not charge Peter and John with any crime because they had broken no laws. The Bible very clearly says that. It says in verse 21 that when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, they let them go. The Sadducees offered no proof that Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. They could not charge Peter and John. Only the enemy was just getting started in his attempts to keep the message of the gospel from spreading. And we're going to find that to be the case in the next several times that we get into the book of Acts. But you can see that for yourself, even in these previous texts that we have journeyed through. You know, my friend, Satan will never stop attacking. Satan will never stop attacking when the name of Jesus Christ is brought up. When we say the name of Jesus Christ, we have just crossed over into another territory. I mean, he would just love for everybody to talk about God. And don't get me wrong, I believe the God of the Bible is omnipotent, omniscient. He's omnipresent. He knows the end from the beginning. But Satan would just love the conversation to be in religion, to just talk about God, because we know that many people talk about God. They're not talking about the God of the Bible. Oh, but when you enter into the conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ, you have just entered into another level. You have just maybe caught the attention of the devil in a little bit greater way. The devil wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to die. The devil wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to sin in Matthew chapter number 4, attacking him 3 times, and Jesus coming back and with the message, "It is written, it is written." The enemy was only getting started in Peter and John, and every disciple minus John would end up facing martyrdom for the Lord Jesus Christ. And many believers in the early days of the church would be martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, when the battle is on, it is when we rely on that time. As we go back to the first thought, they had been with Jesus, but they are able to battle the enemy because they had been with Jesus. I wonder today, could we battle the enemy? You know, Satan will never stop attacking the preaching of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always attacking. It seems that he's attacking more, but you know what? It's never changed. Just read the book of Acts. We're reading it right now. It's an attack. Attacking the early church. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's an attack. I've read the quote. I can't remember who said it now, but the darker the night, the brighter the light. Bob Jones Sr. said this, "The test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him." You see, the difficulty doesn't, the difficulty reveals what we are. Right? You understand what I'm saying? The difficulty reveals what really is in us. We can say we are this and we believe this and we're going to do this. But when those difficulties come, like they're facing here, guys, now you know what? It's all good and well. Yeah, we know this guy. We don't really know what to say about this guy. 40 years old. He can attest to it. Yeah, we can't really discount that. But you know what? We don't want this spreading any further, so be quiet. That's kind of a difficulty, isn't it? When you're told by the religious leaders of the day, and the answer that they give definitely was one that showed they were leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only had they been with Jesus, but they were battle-tested, if you will, and the battle was only going to increasing. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ has won the battle. I'm so thankful that it is not in my strength, it is not my ability to win a battle. It's my job to keep following the captain of our team, the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's look at another thought. In verses 19 to 22, and I'd like to spend the remainder of our time here. They believed God's promises. Look at verse 19, please. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen." That's past tense, right? "And have heard." So they're saying, we have seen some things, and we have heard some things. And it's those things that we are anchored in. It's those things, and it comes back to a person. I don't want to say the things, but it comes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God, which was done. For the man was above 40 years on whom this miracle of healing was showed. I got ahead of myself earlier. Challenges and difficulties are typically very revealing. They show what I am. They show what we are on the inside. I want us to go back to that. I want us to look at verse 20 again and just kind of let that sink in. For we cannot but speak. This is all we can talk about. Think about where you're at today in your Christian life. What can you talk about? What have you seen? What have you heard? Again, they did not have the Bible. We have the whole Bible. 2020, we have the King James Bible right here. Genesis to Revelation, inspired, infallible, inerrant. God breathed. This is not man's word. This is God's word. We have it. We have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. We have everything that we need. Think about it. Think about what you've heard. Think about what, as they said, we have heard. We have seen some things. We have heard some things. Now, I want to tell you, 2020, I'm 47 years old. I got saved when I was 9 years old. I have seen God do a lot of things in my life. I want to tell you that in the last 35 years of my life plus, I have heard a lot about what God has done. I have heard sermon after sermon after sermon. I have read this book, and I've got to read it more. I have memorized verses in this Bible, and I need to memorize more. I'm just saying that there isn't anything that Peter and John could say that I could not say today in a different way, but same thing. I cannot help. I wonder, can I help but speak the things that I have seen and heard? You say, Pastor Turner, I've only been saved 5 years, 5 months, 5 minutes, 2 hours. God's starting to show you things that you can see. God's starting to show you things so you can see, so that you can hear, so that you can spread it. Again, keep spreading. It doesn't matter if it's been 1 year or 20 years. You've seen some things. You've heard some things. And I'm not trying to be spooky right now. I'm being real about this. You've seen God work in a tangible way. I've seen God work in a tangible way. In 20 years of Anchor Baptist Church, coming up on the 20th year, God willing, we'll somehow be able to assemble all together by next June. That's going to take the hand of God for that. Amen? We won't get too far ahead. But I'm just saying, we could say, this is what God did in my life. When I wasn't a tither and I started tithing and God blessed that, and when I never would share my faith, and I started sharing my faith, and when I didn't give the gospel, and it could be go on and on and on again, Peter and John said, hey, we cannot help but speak the things that we've seen, have seen, past tense, and have heard. And how did the message spread in the New Testament church early on? It's because people talked about what Jesus had done in their life. It's because they talked about what they saw, and about what they heard. They believed that God's promises. Jesus had told the disciples before he ascended up to heaven in Matthew chapter 28. At the end of Matthew chapter 28, if you have your Bible, flip over there. It's part of the Great Commission. Do we really believe what we say we believe? They believed God's promises. It's how they were able to continue to preach the gospel under such conditions. Those conditions were not going to get any better. Peter and John were confident in the things they had seen and heard. Look at Matthew 28. Many of you memorized these verses at some point. Let's look at them together. Matthew 28, verse 18. Here's a promise. Here's a promise. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, I don't know if they remembered this when they were standing in front of the Sanhedrin that day, but this was something they had heard. This was something they had heard. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you. This is something they had heard. Here it is. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is something Peter and John had heard. Now they're standing in front of the religious elite of the day, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and Sadducees possibly, and everyone is there. And they said, you know what? I'm sorry, but we cannot speak the things that we have heard. What have they heard? All power is given unto you. What have they heard? Go and preach the gospel. What have they heard? Baptizing them. What have they heard? Disciple them. What have they heard? You won't do it alone. It was just two guys standing there and a lame man of 40 years old that had been healed. And yet I'm sure somewhere in there they remembered what Jesus had said to them just a few, I guess it would have been maybe not even that long ago, actually from his ascension until now. It might have been not even a few months. Jesus had said, hey, I'm going to be with you as you go in power. Cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Folks, you have been listening to preaching at some point, somewhere along the line, I don't know, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. You've been reading your Bible, and it's not just for an exercise to get over with and get done with. It's to store up so that when you are facing something like Peter and John, you cannot help but speak the things you've seen and heard. Well, you can discount it and you can say God's dead and you can say there is no God, but I can only speak the things I've seen and heard. And this is what God's done in my life. You may not believe there's a God, but you can't tell me that He hasn't been working in my life. I got to tell you what I've seen and heard. This is what Peter and John are saying. This is what God has done in my life. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. They believed the promises of God. They believed the promises of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, you will have power. You need to go, but you won't be doing it alone. I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you. Look at John 14. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you how long? Forever. That's a long time, isn't it? Forever. I cannot help but speak the things that I've seen and heard. I don't know. I don't know if they remembered this account in John chapter 14. I don't know if they recalled Jesus saying that I'm going to give you another Comforter. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave, guys, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. That's the same passage that we're in, John 14. And He says to them, I'm sending you someone. And you notice the word Comforter there. You see that, the word Comforter there. Do you notice something about the letter C? It's capitalized. As we were told that this morning, it's capitalized. This is none other than the Holy Ghost that Jesus is talking about. He's going to send us the great Comforter. And again, I don't know what was going through Peter's mind. I'm just going back to some things that they had heard. They said, we can't but speak the things we've seen and heard. What about you? We want to be in the army of the Lord. We sang that this morning. What did we sing? Onward Christian Soldiers. I forgot already, but I like that one too. I May Never March in the Infantry. We sang Onward Christian Soldiers. We're going to be a soldier. We've got to speak the things that we have seen God do and the things that we've heard from God's Word. Just imagine Peter and John. See, sometimes we get so fast through this thing. But just imagine what they're actually talking about. They're talking about the things that we read about in the Gospels. They lived it. They went with Jesus for 3 years. So they're saying, guys, sorry, but we can only talk about what we've heard and seen. Think about what they'd heard and seen. Oh, wow. You know what? They have nothing on us. Because quite frankly, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We've got everything right here. With the Holy Spirit of God in us to help us to understand this, we can be bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can do our part with the Lord's help to keep spreading that message. Go back quickly, if you will, to Acts 4. Verse 16. So, Peter and John, you guys wait over here for a little bit. Can you picture this? You guys just wait over here. Here's this huddle of the Sanhedrin. You know, the Sanhedrin huddle. What shall we do with these guys? I mean, the guy's not lame anymore. This is the Turner translation. He said, the whole city's talking about it. I was down at the Jerusalem Java shop the other day, getting a coffee. You know what they were talking about? Lame men being healed. Everybody's talking about it. We can't deny it. They're talking about this. They didn't believe the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't believers. But I'll tell you what we've got to do, guys. We've got to stop the spread. It's spreading like wildfire. It's spreading like nobody's business. Something's got to be done. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them. That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. In what name? The name of Jesus. Oh, today, my friend, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. These men, Peter and John, were more concerned about being obedient to God than they were about being persecuted. Look, the forces of evil right now are meeting together. Stay with me, we're almost done. The forces of evil are meeting together right now. And they're saying, it's what they're saying. I can't believe it. They've designed another gospel tract to spread into the community. We can't deny, because the devils believe and tremble. We can't deny power of God. We can't deny it. We know it's real. We still hate it. We've got to do something. Keep it from spreading. From one home to the next. From one heart to the next. Let's threaten them. Let's bring discouragement into their life. Let's distract them. You know, the enemy is all about diversion. He can keep us from spreading the truth. He'll do everything possible. It's exactly what they were doing in Acts 4. Can't deny it. What can we do to keep it from spreading? Tell you what. Remember what you've heard. And remember what you've seen. It's only by God's grace. And the grace of God is available to help us, not just to be saved, but the grace of God is available to help us to spread the message to Burnaby and Coquitlam, Vancouver, through our missionaries. I got a note today from Brother Reimer. Sent me a picture of that lady that got saved just a few days ago. Remember if we emailed that out to everybody or not, or if I just read about it on his ministry page. I can't remember. There was a lady that, I'll just tell you quickly, there was a lady that never was able to get off Wednesdays. Never. Like, never. She told the pastor, she said, I'm gonna come see you today. He spends Wednesdays at the church so that people can come by and they know he's there. He lives quite a distance from where they meet. I've been there by God's grace and was able to see it. She went to work that day and she told her employees, I'm going to go see the pastor today. I'm not going to be working today. And they laughed at her. You know you can't get off. Within a moment, somebody came in and said, somebody is sick. You all go home. No work today. It had never happened. She walked to the church and waited for him to come to the area. And when he came, she'd been attending the church for quite a while, but she was never saved. She sat down with him and he explained the biblical method of salvation, and this lady got saved on Wednesday. Today, in this pond of a body of water, you couldn't see anything in it except the people standing in it, and it was a bit murky, and that's saying it nicely. She got baptized. You see, Brother Reimer, by God's grace, is spreading the message in Liberia. We have a part in that. Let's not let the devil distract us from spreading the message. You know, hey, 6 months of having church like this has been a learning experience, hasn't it? You know what? By the grace of God, 101,000 gospel tracts went out. And you know what? I'm just going to say this to God's glory. I would have never planned on mailing 101,000 tracts before March 15th. I never thought of that. Never. Remember, God's word is not bound. tonight, today, tomorrow, let's say to the enemy, hey, sorry, I can't but speak the things that I've seen in my life, in the life of other people that God's transformed from the inside out.